which is the eighth commandment. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal.
Shorter Catechism question 73 brings us to the eighth commandment, which prohibits stealing. And if we were again to reduce the principle down to a brief expression, we would have the preservation of property. And here we're using the word property fairly broadly, because, for example, it would include things like time, a person's time, or it would include things like a person's good name as well, right? These are things that belong to another person. So think of property in terms of ownership. We own our own name. We're responsible for our time and so on. And so it takes us into the field of things like property rights and the general concept of ownership, which I've mentioned here. Things like stewardship over what God has given to us, and responsibility more generally. Let me begin with a question to kind of give you a sense of why the preservation of private property is important. I'll give you an illustration that will set before you the significance of this idea. So here's my question. Why did the buffalo almost go extinct and not cows? Why did buffalo, talking in 19th century now, almost go extinct and not cows? Well, both of them were plentiful. So it's not because there were a lot more buffalo and fewer cows. No, they were both very, very plentiful. The reason is what we sometimes think economists call the tragedy of the commons. The tragedy of the commons. It's described in different ways at different times. But let me spell it out for you in this particular case. The buffalo were roaming over the Wild West, right? The Midwest and the West. They were out there in the plains and they were running around all over the place. But they were just wild animals. They were just roaming around and feeding on pasture and going about in packs and so on. They weren't owned by anyone. The cow, by way of contrast, was. And so it would be common for a family to have their family cow. And they would go and milk the cow, dairy cow, in order to provide milk for their home. Or they might have a few beef cattle. Or in the case of, you know, ranchers and farmers, they would have a whole bunch of beef cattle. This was part of their livelihood. Well, how did they view such a thing? Well, their livelihood, their sustenance depended on these animals, and so they were scrupulous. They were very careful. They protected their cows. They made sure that they got lots of good food and water. They would give it access to pasture. They were treated when they were sick. They had a sense of ownership. These things belong to me. These, you know, we depend upon them. And so they would defend the cows, make sure that they're not, you know, being preyed upon by wolves or coyotes or whatever else. They would take precautions. They would fence them in order to not let them wander off and to get damaged and so on. So that sense of private property and ownership brought with it a sense of responsibility and stewardship. By contrast, the buffalo were just out there roaming around. So it was no loss to me and no gain to anyone else. They could go out and just kill the buffalo for fun. Or they could kill the buffalo and just take something small, just take the skin off of them, or just take, you know, certain parts of the animal and then leave the whole animal to rot. And whether just indiscriminately killing them or killing them to take something small off of them and allowing the rest of the beast to waste, there was no incentive not to do that. Now, they would never do that with their own cow, right? They would want to maximize the productivity of that cow, preserve its life, or when it's slaughtered, they would keep the hide and they would process all of the meat and they would do everything they could, put the bones in soup and so on and so forth. And so it's called the tragedy of the commons for that reason. The buffalo don't belong to anyone, right? They're just common. They're just out there roaming around. And therefore, people don't feel a sense of responsibility. They would waste those resources. So that's just a little illustration, if you will, that gives us a sense of, okay, I can see how this principle of preserving property informs the Christian with regards to our biblical ethic. And there are ways in which this can be spelled out in terms of productivity. Right? So we procure things or purchase them with the resources God's given to us. We protect what the Lord has entrusted to us. We promote it. We provide for it. And so on. So the Lord enables us to make a little bit of money, and we use that money to purchase, for example, a piece of property. Well, we don't want the property to burn. We don't want the property to be damaged. So let's say you've bought a house. You want to make sure the roof is okay, there's not leakage and mold going through the house, or that there's other things that are put in place to protect it. You'll maybe try to improve it and, you know, make it a little better to increase the value of it, and so on. You can apply that same thing to just about anything, right? It might not be your house. It might be, to use the illustration earlier, some cattle, or it could be something entirely different. But the idea here is that there are checks and balances, right? We have a sense of responsibility because we know if we waste things, if we just let the roof cave in and rain pour into the house, or we'll actually lose the value of what we have purchased. The house will be worthless. It'll sell for less if we have to sell it. It's not useful to live in. And so there are these checks and balances. The same thing's true for businesses, right? So a person who starts a business, they have a vested interest in doing everything they can to make that business thrive. And bad business will fail. So if people are stupid in terms of their grasp of the market, their spending, their research and development, whatever else, things will crumble and it'll go upside down. And so there's responsibility. And the Christian has a sense of responsibility, not just because we want success, not just because we want something to increase in value, but the Christian realizes, I don't actually own anything. God owns it all. Now, a godly Christian, when they borrow something from someone else, they're going to want to preserve that thing. It's not ours. We have to take good care of it. You know, return it as best we can to the person in the same condition. And that's true for everything we have. It all belongs to God. And it all belongs to His service. And so we have a sense of responsibility to be good stewards of what God's given us, so that everything that we have is being used for His glory. My time is being used for His glory. Our bodies are being used for His glory. The things that we possess, our property, is being used for God's glory. Everything is to be funneled to our man's chief end, which is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And so for the Christian, there's something bigger here. And the Eighth Commandment captures this. Christ owns me. I'm the Lord's slave. I'm the Lord's servant. And He owns all my stuff. And so that is going to affect how I relate to it, to the things God's entrusted to me. It'll also affect how I relate to other people's things, because I have a sense of I'm serving the Lord. I don't want to diminish the good name or time or property of another person. I want to so you can see here again the connection between law and love. I want to love my neighbor by seeking their good, their blessing, their prosperity even. And so it affects how we relate to other people. There's this sense of responsibility. And very interesting that this could be set in contrast, for example, to the government taking responsibility for everything. Now, the government's not productive. What do I mean? The government doesn't produce anything like, for example, a business would. They only have three ways of making money. One is through taxation. The second is through debt. And the third is through inflation. So the government can only make money through those three ways. They don't produce things, as it were, for sale. The Christian is very different from that, and we're not going to talk about in this class, at least at this time, what the implications for this commandment are with regards to the government. We'll come back to that a little bit later. But with regards to ourselves, it underlines two things for the Christian. Diligence on one hand, and generosity. These two things are to go together. So for the Christian, we have a sense of diligence. If a man doesn't provide for his own house, he's worse than an infidel. You know, you are to, if you don't labor, you don't eat, right? This is something that most of us heard all our life growing up in our homes. If you grew up in a Christian home, my parents told me a million times, if you don't work, you don't eat. And so we had responsibilities, we had chores, we had other things that we had to do for the family, for the family's good. There was to be a diligence here. The idea of the Protestant or Puritan work ethic comes out of the Eighth Commandment. We're to be doing everything to the glory of God. Whether we eat or drink, we do all to the glory of God, including the various responsibilities that God gives to us. And so there's a sense of constraint, of the need for diligence. We work hard to the glory of God for the good of His name. However, this diligence is not self-gratifying. So it's not that I'm working in order to get something for me, to satisfy or gratify myself. Generosity has to be connected with this. We work, among other things, in order to give. So Paul says, you know, to the thief, the one who steals, stop stealing, go work hard, and work hard in order that you can give to others. Right? That's what he says. You're not only not to be taking things that don't belong to you, you're to be working diligently for the purpose of being able to give to others. And so it's not self-oriented, right? It's first and foremost God-oriented and secondarily others-oriented. So we're working in order to be able to give, first of all, to the advance of God's kingdom. He says, seek ye first my kingdom, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you. So clothes, food, sustenance, the things that we think are necessities of life. The Lord says, you take care first and foremost of my kingdom, my cause, my glory, my name, the advance of my kingdom in the earth. That's our number one responsibility. We work hard in order that we have more to give to the kingdom of God and to the advance of Christ's glory. That's a chief priority for us. But also in order to benefit others. So not stealing, that prohibition includes the positive of giving. Not only taking away from others what belongs to them, taking it for ourselves, but rather giving what belongs to us to other people. You see, giving is the opposite of stealing. We're told not to steal, and the opposite is to give. And so the Christian is interested in working to advance not only our own interests, but to advance the good name, the time, the property, the prosperity of those that are around us. So the principle here is the preservation of property. Question 73, which is the eighth commandment? The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal.